This week, I demanded something dangerous. So, stand by for action.
Wait, what? I have to do that bit too? What, I'm to the Foley guy. All right.
We are about to start Penance RPG. Penance RPG.
Have you had enough danger yet, Bellry?
No. More.
Fine.
Anything can happen in the next hour and a bit. Penance. That was the dangerous introduction. And what is more dangerous than a stingray? Stingray! This is Penance, the RPG. Hello and welcome to episode 64 of the Penance RPG podcast. I am Bellary, your not-so-humble host. This week is the last recording of one of the regular members. We won't say who exactly, as it would spoil the plot. However, we hope they will be back once they are not quite so busy. And so, without any further nonsense, we kick down the trapdoor beneath us and tumble downwards to this week's episode, The Perils of Plummeting.
Who are you, what are you, and what is your favourite colour in a magic deck? Starting with Rebecca.
Hello, Andrea Dina, human rogue, werewolf creature, person thing. Dark blonde hair, brown eyes, I have a pet lobster person named Lobrenna. I wear tie-dye socks on my head, I live in a crow's nest. I repair things by kicking them vigorously. And my favourite Magic the Gathering deck. I tend to lean towards things that are heavy hitting and a lot of healing, but mostly heavy hitting. So I would say green or red.
Okay. Ash.
Hi, I play Ashla Melorana. She's an elven mage with lots and lots and lots of books and various other little trinkets and things. And my favourite colour in the magic deck, it's been a very long time since I played. I did have a really evil black deck at one point that made you discard cards and then take damage for doing so.
Ooh.
Okay. Dragon.
Hello. I play the unnamed rogue. I specialise in sharp, pointy, stabby things, which are gradually getting nicer as we go along. I have lots of random notes. I still have a white candle for Ravain's mind that hasn't been used very much. I don't know what effect it would have now. I still have some dwarven mead, and now I have a jar with a fire golem in.
You do?
I'm not very good with Magic the Gathering, but I have had some good luck with a red-blue deck. But I'm told that the dragon commanders are now amazing.
Fair enough. Hippo.
Hello, I'm Hippo, also known as Tensho the Warrior. I have a wind sword, I have a massive rock collection, and due to unknown circumstances, my head is currently not attached to my body, and I don't play Magic Gathering, so I couldn't give a rat's ass.
Diplomatic as ever.
You're just being a cunt.
Yeah. You taught me well.
Okay. Lenaida.
Hello. I'm playing Ora Dulce, an elf mage with the sweetest mouth in the world. Or at least he thinks so. Doesn't really come around to it, but likes etiquette and other meaningless stuff. have a friend called Fred, who's an ant, carries around the lightning staff, some spell scrolls, and now a lute as well. Well, you probably will be hearing sometime soon. My favorite color in the magic is probably black or red. A lot of destruction. I love it.
Okay. The Papa Bellary.
Hey, it's me, Papa Bellary. First Apostle, Style Captain, Lord of Fist, Bad Cop, Sex Explorer, Seamstress, Pope Cripple, Father, Marador, Laundry Officer, Jeremy, Tiny Boy, and now Literal King. My favourite magic colours is probably red, because I used to play, it wasn't very good, but it was very fun, a red-black vampire deck back in Shadows.
Ellie!
Hi there. You caught me pondering the existence of dabbing. Yeah, that's a weird thing, isn't it? Hi, I haven't been around for a while. I'm playing Ravaine Winterwith, the tiefling alchemist of the group. She makes stuff, she writes books. An accomplished author, across the realm. Set things on fire in the past, haunted by wizards, can see ghosts. Doesn't like seeing ghosts anymore. It probably wouldn't surprise anyone to know that my favorite Magic the Gathering color was red. A lot of fire, lightning. The ideal mix, red-blue, add some sweet-ass Izzet decks and Pyromancer's Ascension. So good.
Blue decks are for cowards.
And there was me expecting you to have the cat deck they talk about in LRR.
I did make Angry Kittens deck, back in the day.
Yeah, I expected green for, the horses.
And unicorns.
No.
I thought the horses were mostly white.
They lie between white and green. Nightmare, the flaming pony, is black. But they're just not a viable deck, whereas setting things on fire, so, incinerate.
Hang on. This is one of the only times we'll ever get to say this. So what you're saying, Ellie, is ponies aren't good.
I said that they weren't as viable as other options.
So, someone other than Dragon this week, what happened last week?
Last time on Penance RPG.
We found an island, as tends to happen, and on the island were a bunch of, weird dudes with, messed up, what's the word?
Mutants.
That's the one, mutants. And they made me their king. Turns out that I was now the king of an evil kingdom. The neighbors weren't happy with us because the previous king burned down their crops or something. And so I stayed behind to be a king. Tensho, Dragon, Aura?
Aura?
I think that was everyone. Went down to see what the deal was with the dickhead kingdom. There was a paladin, I guess he was a paladin, called... Shit, what was he called? I live near the place where he's called. Rothbury.
Yeah.
Yes.
Who was just a total bellend. And so far up himself.
There were some crazy priests as well, I think. Some crazy clergy.
Yeah. Was it Tensho didn't steal the candle holders or something?
No, I found the candle holders. I then did not steal them. I then went outside to confront Rothbury.
And I kept mispronouncing his name all the time, so, yeah.
So we had a bit of a fight.
You challenged him to a duel.
Well, yeah.
A wizard duel?
No, just a duel.
It was a duel to the death.
By beheading.
Well, preferably.
So,
I suppose it ended in a tie.
Yeah.
He died, I ended up decapitated, so I'm now kind of head.
Yeah, I think I stole the bard's loot. That's why I now have a loot.
You did, yes. You stole his loot and you sort of carry Tensho around with you.
Yeah.
Oh, god, yeah. And being heroes, we just burnt the town down.
Hey, you upheld my legacy.
Yeah.
In fairness.
Lenaida's gone from being a pacifist to burning down a church in 3 episodes.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, they were persecuting these poor mutants that were up at the castle.
Yeah.
Well, they were technically mongrel folk.
Mongrel apology.
Which is the worst name for a species.
I mean, at least someone did burn it down. That's all that matters to me.
Well,
yeah. Then there was problems with
the Sea Bellary.
Yeah, there was a problem with Sea Bellary.
Secret Linda is a psycho and tried to burn it down.
Because she thought that you were already trying to replace her as queen.
I explained it to her that no, it was just a sham marriage between the two kingdoms.
You said the words sham marriage. You didn't bother to say which one was the sham.
Yeah.
Linda stormed off in a huff, and later on they found her that she'd set fire to the sea bellary.
Luckily, I just need what?
You have married Secret Linda.
No. He told the mongrel folk who accepted him as king that Secret Linda was in fact the queen. And then later on, he asked the mongrel folk in front of Secret Linda if a marriage between the king and the village would solve the problem. And then turned around to Secret Linda and said, "It's okay, it's just a sham marriage." Then rolled a natural one.
Knowing that Secret Linda has feelings for him, he said.
Yes.
Yeah.
But she's now.
Like
burnt. She's now. They managed to save the sea bellary, but it was set on fire.
Luckily, Michael is the shipwright.
The sea bellary, really. I think he deserves it.
Well, now the sea bellary is a sovereign nation. Full of all the mongrel people, although...
Yep, the sea bellary is now full of mongrel folk who are basically like mutant versions of the minions.
They so absolutely hate that boat.
Think of them like minions, only they're like blood red colour, and they've got... Some of them have got like tentacles for arms, some of them have got like duck feet or wings or one eye, two eyes, spider eyes. They're basically like any blend of creature you can imagine. That's what they all look like.
Yeah, so far we have Charlie the architect, who's a bit of a softie, and we have Michael the shipwright. We haven't named any more of them.
Tenshu is also propelling himself around the ship using the power of his chin to just kind of drag his head around the place.
Yeah, Dizlanida keeps carrying him around to play songs.
Didn't we try to sue his head fast on? Suit on? Maybe we didn't.
I don't think so.
No, you didn't. His head is still detached.
Oh, yeah. Right.
So, as you fill her vein in and all this information, and she looks over at the very angry-looking Secret Linda, who is, like, staring out towards Seabury with venom in her eyes, we will begin.
Yay!
That evening, lots of fog begins to envelop the ships, and after about a couple of hours of journeying through the fog, you come across a very small dock, a sort of floating village on the sea. It seems to be very, very dense fog. So you can only see that there is a dock in front of you, and it leads to a small floating platform, but that's all you can see for this point. What do you do?
Might be worth stopping here so we don't go ploughing into anything we can't see.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Aye, aye, Captain Ash.
Also, this seems to be where the story is.
Before we venture on, could we maybe try to attach Tensho's head to his body in some manner?
Yeah, we can try and sew it on if Tenshu would like, or we can give him something to carry it with.
I'll be honest, I just don't know anymore. Well, the horror of this has affected me so badly.
Well, Tenshu's body is still undead. He can carry his head around.
That's a fair point!
Last week we made the agreement that Tenshu's head can only operate what Tenshu's head's connected to.
Yeah.
As soon as he loses the part of his body, he loses the connection to the brain.
What if we built a mannequin and attach the head to a mannequin?
Well, even like a wooden mannequin?
Yes.
But like, it's a dog. No! Do you remember the movie Mars Attacks?
Oh, no.
And do you remember what happens to Pierce Brosnan?
Yep.
I propose we Pierce Brosnan Tenshu.
What, you would pierce his brain?
I propose we try to sew it on his own body instead so we can actually be of help.
But we could sew his head onto Maurice.
Yes.
God, no! No, that poor head suffered enough!
The adventurer. So, what are you doing with Tencho's head? Let's have a unanimous decision. What's happening with Tencho's head?
What would Tencho like us to do with his head? Because it's his head.
So long as I'm attached to a body that I can use, I don't care. I will go with the group on this one and just do something completely nuts.
Of all the time.
Let's vote.
Let's sew it back onto his own body for now. We can always take it off and put it onto another mannequin when we've got one, which we haven't at the moment.
Okay, he's sewing it on.
Somebody's great with sewing.
Well, we do have a seamstress.
Yeah.
I suppose I could. Do I have to roll to sew it on the right way?
You have to roll to see how good your sewing is.
Never before in my life have I wished for a low roll more than right now.
You sew it back on.
Dedication to story.
Tenshu keeps losing feeling in one side of his body, then the other.
Oh,
as he walks, he can hold his hand up, and then after a couple of seconds, his hand will just fall to the side, swing loosely, and then he'll seem to regain the power to it.
Do undead people feel anything?
No, he doesn't feel anything. His body is completely, you can basically stab him at the moment and he won't feel it.
Don't try it, it's not nice.
Also,
I'm just thinking, how can he lose feeling of his body if he can't feel anything from the beginning?
No, it means like he can't, like,
It means he loses control.
Yeah, loses control.
Okay. So, like, the nerves stop firing.
Yeah. It's like he can't lift anything for long periods because he can't hold it up. Put it that way.
Oh, that was all he was good for, was lifting stuff.
All he was good for was lifting stuff.
What if what
if we try to sort of jolt him with a little bit of electricity and see if that works?
It seems to be a bad connection in the sewing, but since none of the rest of you have seamstressing, the rest of you can't seem to do a better job sewing the head back on.
Can we just glue it back on?
Do you have enough glue to glue it back on?
Let me check my inventory.
Trying to line up the nerves and the muscle.
Can you nail it back on? I mean, there's got to be like super glue somewhere.
You can make a primitive glue by boiling ashes and milk.
We can do that. Revenge, set something on fire. Set the sea bell ring on fire, then we get the ashes.
That is an act of war on a sovereign nation.
Sea is not a sovereign nation.
If tension is happening at the moment, let's leave it and we can try and buy glue. If we find anyone here, we can buy things.
We can try things later on.
On a kind of like a dry dock. It's a floating platform that seems to be a makeshift dock. And ahead of you is a sort of open platform that looks about maybe at 20 meters wide. It just seems to be like a sort of docking station where there's lots of barrels and boxes and stuff.
I send my attendant, Carl, to cover up the barrels ahead of me.
You have an attendant?
Called Carl, yes.
Of course you do.
So Carl wanders up, covers the barrels in a cloth, and then comes back and gives you a thumbs up.
Well done, Carl. You can have me tonight.
He looks and blushes.
Maybe we should
That's a bit
ashore.
Okay.
Don't worry, one sec. I just realized that might have sounded like me tonight. It was meant to be meat, as in like food.
Yeah, that's what I heard.
He seems slightly saddened. And you hear the scowl of Secret Linda.
You hear a scowl.
It's that prominent.
Okay, I think I'm going to attempt to try and go ashore.
Yeah, I'm going with you, Tensho. I will try to steady you.
Although I think I have fallen to the boat, seeing as my body is fucked.
Not all the time, just sporadically.
Yeah, I will sort of jolt Tensho every time he seems to be out of control with my lightning rod.
So you go ashore onto the dock. Bellary entrusts the mongrel folk to guard the sea Bellary from Secret Linda, who is standing on top of the sea pony, glaring at Bellary with a death stare.
Does Jay the dog want to come with us, or does he want to stay with Secret Linda and plot?
That's up to you.
Hang on, Jay the dog has become part of the crew.
He's been part of the crew since I rescued him back when there was problems.
In fairness, he's actually been in a few episodes now, he just doesn't do anything.
Yeah, I've spent a lot of time in my cabin.
Yeah, all by yourself.
Yeah, I'm just going to leave Fred to guard the anchor as well.
Who's Fred?
My pet aunt.
Yeah, okay. Mm-hmm. Yep, that's fine.
So yes, you head ashore and you head to this sort of area. In the area, as I said, is now sheets and cover over barrels and boxes. And there seems to be fog everywhere still. It's a strange smell in the air that you can't really narrow down. It smells like rotting fish. And it's something else in the air, but you can't really place it.
Oh no, is it Dagon? Have we walked into Innsmouth?
Is it Tensho?
Is the smell Tensho? I don't know. Roll to see if the smell is Tensho.
Okie dokie.
The smell could very well be Tensho. You're not really sure.
I would like to sneak under the blankets and do a perception check for the boxes and barrels.
Okay. You open up the barrels and have a look around them. They mostly just seem to be full of old grain, old basic supplies that you would see delivered to a floating village.
Okay.
Again, there's some sort of like, it's like quite a thick wooden platform, but it seems to be what goes between the sort of sections. There were three of these wooden platforms. There's one to the left, one to the right, and one straight on. They're sort of long and winding, and you can't really see where they go because they sort of disappear into the fog.
Is it like that place in Vietnam?
What, you mean the floating city?
Yes.
Yes.
But
it's like small platforms with gangplanks running between them, but they're very thick wooden gangplanks.
Have we ended up in Waterworld?
Quite possibly, actually. I didn't think about it. I should have watched Waterworld before this.
This reminds me of Innsmouth from H.P. Lovecraft. Anyone else getting a H.P. Lovecraft vibe from this?
More Vietnam vibe.
I imagine it's a bit more tropical, yeah.
Yeah.
Is there pad thai?
Is it pouring with rain and everyone's wearing anoraks?
It's pouring with rain, but there's no anoraks.
Small mercies, I suppose.
Should we check out the platform to the left before we go head on?
Well, there's a platform to the left, platform to the right, and a platform that's straight on.
Left first.
Yeah, let's go to the left first.
You go along the platform to the left. Again, it's just sort of open platform. It seems like there should be something here that's not. There is a platform again to the left, and there's a platform straight ahead.
I'll just do a perception check and see if I can figure out what's not there or something.
It's just a really sparse area. It's like there should be something here and there isn't.
Okay.
Okay, this probably needs some ghost vision.
No!
Not the ghost vision.
Yeah, it's been a while, huh?
Ghost vision. You turn on ghost vision and you look around. There is barely anything here. The fog seems to be worse with ghost vision on.
Can I do an arcana check to see if it's any illusions or if we're dreaming, please?
Sure. Okay. Your arcana check feels like there is something magical off to the right, towards the middle of the island, and it seems to be pulsing.
Is it kind of a heartbeat style pulsing again?
No, this one, I suppose any kind of pulse is a heartbeat sound, but it's like a very slow, very steady thump, then a 20-second gap, then another thump. Like something is being pumped out.
Okay. I'm going to attempt to do a perception check without falling over.
Okay. Okay. You look around and you're trying to work out what's from where. As you look to the left, you notice that there seems to be signs of kind of like what could have been fires, but they seem to be quite controlled fires, like a sort of campsite. Whereas straight ahead of you, there doesn't seem to be any of that.
If I poke one of the fires, is it still warm?
You're not at the fires, you just see them off in the distance.
Okay.
Let's head over there.
Okay. You head to the left, along the sort of gangplank platform, and eventually you come to a small settlement, and in the small settlement are several buildings that look like they have been like taken over by what seems to be spider webs, and half of them have been burned, half of them have been absorbed by these spider webs. It's as if the buildings have kind of fallen to ruin rather quickly.
Okay.
Can I do a demonology check?
Mm-hmm.
I will play an inspiring song on my lute while she's doing that.
Okay, there is no demonology here.
Can I try to do a perception check?
Yep. Okay, yes, there seems to have been some kind of magic put across this area. As you are deciding what to do next, you notice that from one of the buildings, a very large spider crawl out onto the web and sort of stand there. It doesn't look it's threatening you, it's just a very large spider.
Can I wave at it?
You can wave at it, yes.
I wave at the spider and say, hello, big spood.
The spider sort of turns to look towards your general direction and just doesn't move.
I will try to address it in spider language. My golden sweet mouth. Yes.
Right, roll. You sort of click and whistle and sort of make noises with your face towards the spider. The spider seems to sort of move back a little, but seems to be preparing itself in case you attack.
I'm readying a firebomb and stepping backwards apprehensively.
Yeah, I'm moving backwards with my hands up as well, just to sort of let
I'm
know that
I'm closing my eyes
it.
And humming a loud tune.
Yeah, the spider draws three guns and goes, move it, boys. You want me to say? So you can go back the way you came, or you can try and move the spider out of the way, or you can... What do you want to do?
Does anyone have meat to, like, feed it?
I don't know if any of you have any meat on you. No. You can...
Shall we just leave the spider in peace? Because it seems like... He's a spider at the moment.
Yeah, I think we should.
I think we leave it in peace, but I am still to look around every so often.
Okay. So, are you going back the way you came?
I think we should go the other way.
There's something in the middle of the area that we need to go and investigate, which is the other direction from here.
Okay. Exactly.
You move back round and you head what would have been straight on before. You come to a deserted armory, which seems to have like lots of dust and blood, and various like weapons seem to have been drawn quickly and then been like shattered or discarded. And some weapons lie broken on the ground, others look like they never really got very far when carrying them.
Do they look like regular people weapons? Or are they maybe weapons that a spider might employ?
They look elvish.
Ooh. Okay, so it's not a spider village.
No.
Are there any usable weapons there?
There's a couple of swords, a couple of shields, some generic elfy like bows. Nothing looks that special, they all look quite generic.
Wait just 1 minute here. recall something about elves turning into spiders way back when I developed my fear of barrels.
I'm getting itchy all over.
Are there any logbooks or anything in the armory?
There doesn't seem to be. It seems to have been a very open plan armory, as in this was the village's armory. It doesn't seem to be protected. It just seems to be like, if you need a spear, come pick up a spear, rather than like sign in, sign out.
Like those bike things in like Denmark.
Could I pick one elvish sword just to take with me?
Yep. You pick up a very generic looking elvish sword.
Yep.
Yeah, just it's an elvish sword, doesn't really do anything else. It's not magical, just an elvish sword.
It's an elvish sword. That is just automatically better than any other sword out there anyway.
Well, yeah. It's definitely prettier.
So, when you look the other side of the armory, there is another gangway that leads straight ahead, or you can go back to where the ship is and go the other direction. It's up to you.
Should we perhaps go further on, guys?
Yeah.
What do you think?
I suspect so.
We're here now, might as well keep cracking on.
Okay.
Yeah.
Have we done an arcana check?
You did one before, you haven't done one on this platform, no.
Well, we haven't tried it on here, so we can always do one here as well.
Okay. Again, there seems to be something magical coming from the middle of the island, but there's nothing really out where you are.
Maybe we should head in then.
Yeah.
None of the roads from this platform seem to head that way, though. So should we just keep going this way first and then go back?
Could we not just swim to the centre?
You could.
Should we do a perception check on the water first?
Yeah, I think so.
Are you doing a perception check on the water?
I am.
You pick up a spear and you poke the water. As you pull the spear back out, you seem to pull out like the arm of a dead elf that was just sort of bobbing around in the water. It looks like it has many bite marks on it.
I'm not going in the water.
Yeah, me neither.
This is like the ocean water, right?
Yes.
Well, then it's okay because piranhas are freshwater fish.
Sharks, man.
Maybe we could ask Tensho if we'd like to have a third arm attached.
Oh, God.
You don't have to say yet.
Are you wanting a third arm, Tensho?
Or a third leg, and we can call him Tripod.
Well, how about I can actually get a fully functional body first before we actually start attaching other bits?
That sounds like a much better idea.
Yeah, well, I think it's more useful than rocks, actually.
Yeah, but you do have a rock buttock.
He does have a rock buttock.
Well, put it this way, is this arm going to be superior than my wilted, decrepit one?
I don't know.
Well,
it has
it's covered in bite marks and chunks of flesh missing, so
probably not then. So let's just wait until we find, you know, better bits of bodies that we can, you know, surgically
attach
to.
Is that
this
image of, like, Tensho cutting people's flesh off to try and attach it to his own?
That's so noble of you.
Yeah.
Let's just wait and see what happens, because I may, as we did in one cyberpunk episode, take body parts off corpses.
I mean, I guess they're not using them anymore. Someone might as well.
Pretty much.
Let's just go on ahead, guys.
Okay. Are you just going along the platform then?
Yeah, but I also kind of want to keep an eye out for barrels that might be full of blood and smaller spiders.
Yeah, let's be systematic about this.
Okay.
I slowly drag myself along behind the group.
You move round and there's a set of stairs up. And as you go up the stairs, you find yourself at... It's a larger platform. It's like an arena in front of you. But it's a very elevated platform compared to everywhere else. And where you are, there are two or three bodies lying around, but they seem to all have been burned. You notice around the edge, the fog's still quite heavy, but you can see that there's a platform low down in front of you that there doesn't seem to be a connection to, and there's a platform to your left and to your right.
Okay.
Does anybody have a ladder of sorts?
I had a ladder, but it got crushed under the cage that you were in when we rescued you.
Damn it.
So much for old ropey.
Captain Ash has sparrow form.
You have levitate?
You have levitated some guys already?
Yeah, that will send you upwards.
Well, if I jump down and you levitate me just before I hit the platform down below, and then sort of turn it off, would that work?
I do. Give it a try.
Yeah, let's try that. Okay. I'm going to jump down and hopefully be levitated before
you
I hit
roll. You jump off, you plummet straight down, and you smack straight into the concrete. Well, the brick.
That's
and
my
you're
job.
Knocked unconscious.
Oops, didn't catch him.
So, as you look down at the broken, unconscious form of Aura, what are the rest of you going to do?
I'm going to ask Ash to conjure a really big pillow at the bottom, or lots of smaller pillows.
Why not just put me down there? I don't feel anything, apparently, so you can just use me as a
cushion. Because you'll still splat. And you smell, yeah, you and I don't want to be all up in that.
I'm going to turn into a sparrow, the spell works, and then fly down to try and fix him.
Okay. So you turn into a sparrow and you flutter down. What is everyone else doing while Ash is away?
How springy are the legs of raptors?
Well, since Ash has the turned raptor spell, you don't have it, so...
I mean, paleontologically speaking, they had very strong, very sturdy legs, usually good for jumping long distances and running short bursts, but...
I think they might snap if you go straight down on it.
Okay.
Depends how far. They can probably do about a 3 meter drop max.
Yeah,
could, three little legs.
Could I conjure a sufficiency of tumbleweeds to break the fall?
A sufficiency of tumbleweeds?
Yes.
I did not know what the
could I try something really radical?
What's
try and use my dexterity to climb down without injuring myself.
You can,
that's fairly sensible.
So,
and that will be with dexterity modifier.
Yep. Okay. You climb down safely. What's everyone else doing?
I don't actually have the luxury of a half-decent dexterity modifier.
I shall attempt to climb down as well, using strength.
Roll, Grim. Tentro plummets as his body gives up from being able to grip halfway through. Can Dragon do a dodge roll to see if she's hit by a falling Tentro? Dragon is crushed by a falling Tentro.
Sorry!
Did so none of you have roll?
Tentro is now lying on top of Dragon, unable to move. Only his head can move, and Dragon is basically crushed unconscious underneath Tentro. Now that's happened, and everyone's heard the fuck of Tentro falling. What are Ravain, Bellary, and Andreadina doing?
Could I quickly nip back to the Sea Bellary, bring the Olev quintuplets who were actually the acrobats, and have them form a human ladder that I can climb down.
It's not the worst idea.
Roll! They are not tall enough to reach you. You know they're down there, and they're desperately trying to form a pyramid, but they're not tall enough to reach you, and you can't seem to see them.
What did I say the word? Like, quintuplets or quadruplets? Whatever the four is. Because I need to add this to the sheet.
Quadruplets.
So you have acrobat quintuplets.
Well, used to work in the circus back on the island.
Do I still have my wizard haunting me? Because I feel like something happened to him. I don't remember.
No, you still have him.
Okay. I'm going to call him up and be like, you know, because apparently he's just on the end of the line.
Yep.
Oh, hey.
Still hates you, but yeah. So you cast that, the wizard turns up, roll to see what kind of mood he's in. He's reasonably annoyed, but he's happy enough to help, I guess.
I don't have a wizard mood modifier.
So, he asks why you summoned him.
So there's this drop, and as you can see, Tensho shattered into a pile of bones down there.
Oh!
What do you suggest? Any?
He looks down, looks at you, looks down again, and just laughs, and then disappears.
Yeah, okay, cool.
Because that's the kind of dick he is.
Yeah, it is. I will try and climb down.
Okay, roll.
With my amazing dex modifier. There we go.
You plummet. Roll to see if you land on top of Tensho or if you land on the concrete. Well, the stone.
So it's a pile of bones or...
It's a pile of bones or it's a stone
it's
floor.
It's not bones.
You land on the stone floor and knock yourself out.
Okay. Since you said that he's got his head detached, I just
imagine... No, his head's not detached, it's just his body can't react
detached.
At the moment. He's not responding to him doing anything at the moment. Because he keeps losing feeling in his limbs, basically he just can't do anything at the moment.
So Tensho isn't particularly sharp at the minute then?
No, but he is lying on top of Dragon.
Can I just jump in him? Oh no, because then I'll crush Dragon as well. She probably wouldn't appreciate that in a shower at me.
Well, I'm currently unconscious.
She's unconscious, you won't know.
Okay, sweet. I'm going to jump and aim for Tensho to cushion the fall.
Roll.
Oh. Fuck's sake.
You land.
The quintuplets.
All the time. All the time to land. Roll a one. You land. I don't know whether to have you kill a quintuple or not.
The quintuplets are now quadruplets.
You know what, I have to, because you rolled a one. You land, and you squash a quintuplet. You're unconscious, the broken body of a quintuplet. The three of them that are there run around going, ah! quite panicked. So all that's left is Andrea Dina up top.
Staring down in Babu's bemilderment, just, I don't know what to say about any of this. Is there to say?
There's not really much to say.
Help.
Help's a good start.
Well,
to get back
alive.
Up, I'm assuming?
Well, everyone else is down the pit apart from you, so...
Okay.
Everyone else is either unconscious or can't move apart from you and Ash.
Okay, how far down are they exactly?
They're about 30 feet.
Fuck's sake. I guess I'll go look for some ropes, see if they tied up somewhere that I can yoink or something.
Okay. Roll to find rope.
Roll to find rope. I don't like this. I never usually take the helm and actually do stuff.
So, you find a box full of rope just lying there that nobody looked at.
Okay.
So you now have rope. What are you going to secure it to?
What things are around, would you say, that are stable enough?
There's a couple of pillars. You could maybe use one of them, but a couple of them feel that they could come loose at any moment.
Okay, I'll test each of the pillars to see which ones are the most stable and use the most stable one.
Okay.
Roll to descend
from a rope. Okay, you safely managed to descend on the rope.
And the rope stays there.
Yes. So everyone else is unconscious or has something landing on top of them, including the quintuplets, who are now very upset that you've crushed their brother.
Can I attempt to revive them?
You can attempt to revive them. I think Ash is probably just sitting with her hand in her wing, just like, oh, for fuck's sake.
I think you can deal with everybody else, and I'm going to be trying to sort of heal people and scold them and spare a peep, 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 peep.
Oh, God.
I love it.
You've angered the evil sparrow. Oh,
Lebrenna clacks her claws agreeably.
I like how Lebrenna can apparently understand sparrow.
I think that tone can be understood worldwide, dear.
Oh, God.
Yeah, probably.
So you're all revived, given time, and Ash has scolded you all in sparrow. He can't revive the quintuplet, he's just squashed beyond recognition. The other three are quite sad that they've had their brother crushed.
I will also switch back to Elf and try and see if we can get Tencha's head slightly more firmly and securely attached to his body so he can use his body again.
Okay.
Can I prepare a Viking funeral for the quintuplet?
Sure.
Yeah, I feel like we should probably bury him.
Yeah, we should.
Yeah, I will.
And since we don't have any thing to bury, out to sea he goes, I suppose. Also fire, we have Ravain.
Can we get him out to sea from the arena?
A Viking burial would work, yes.
Let's do a Viking burial. Do I have to roll for this?
Yes.
Oh, bollocks.
I will play a lamenting song as well.
You put him on a boat, you shove the boat out to sea and set fire to it. The quintuplets look quite alarmed that you just, you know, dragged the remains of their brother, put him onto a boat and set fire to it.
I take the socks off my head like a hat and I put them on my chest and I bow my head and say he was a good man.
A finer acrobat you'll never find.
Oh,
if only he was a little taller, this whole thing could have been avoided.
Bellry, the heightest.
And I give Ravain a little bit of side eye as well, because she's short.
Say it again, Bellry. Just say it again.
I console the three remaining Olevs.
So
I would like to do a perception check.
Okay.
While you're doing that,
sure.
To see where we're at.
Okay. You are standing in what seems to be a large throne room area. There are basically two thrones in this room. One of them seems to be obviously a masculine throne and one seems to be a feminine throne, effectively. Like one seems to be a king and one seems to be a queen. The one that looks like it was a queen is caked in blood. The one that looks like it was male, as in the king, seems to have like hack marks out of it. And sitting in front of the two of these is a very small elf clutching a book and crying.
Well, as a king, I feel like I could use this opportunity to maybe start an empire.
I dart ahead of Bellry before he can have a chance to react and quietly ask them if they are okay.
They look at you with blood red eyes and they whisper in a language. How many of you are Elvish? Is it Lamida and Ash?
Yeah.
If the two of you roll to see if you understand his dialect. He sort of looks at you and he says he was just trying to help.
Okay.
Trying to help with what?
Yeah, exactly. We'll ask him.
He sobs uncontrollably and goes back just hugging the book tightly.
Can we see what the book is?
The book seems to be a very old, leather-bound book.
I ask him if I can have the book to see if we're in it.
Let's see how he reacts. He stands up, screams, "No, this book just brings pain. Pain!" And he runs and jumps into the water.
The fuck?
Catch him levitate before he hits him.
Sure. Roll. Yep, you catch him with levitate. He screams, "Leave me, I just want to die, leave me." And he thrashes around quite wildly as he's rising into the air.
If the book's an issue, I've got plenty of quality reads that might help.
Someone grab him to the monkey platform before he gets too far up, please.
Okay. Yeah, someone else might want to do that. My grip seems to be a bit of an issue this week.
I will catch him.
Okay. Yep, you catch him. So you pull him down and he's flailing around, and pathetically flailing around, and when you pull him down to normal height with you, he and sort of hugs you and bursts into tears, saying that he just really wants to die. He feels like he's caused enough suffering.
I will play a soothing song for him while the rest of you guys try to talk him out of the book.
Just ask him if he can please tell us what happened so the memory doesn't die.
Okay. He tells you that he was offered his greatest desire, but it turns out his greatest desire was in fact this book. And he sort of gestures it and then hugs it back closely to himself. He says that while he accepts that what he does truly want is power, he didn't want this. And he begins sobbing again.
What sort of power is it from the book?
He sort of looks at you and doesn't seem to understand your dialect, but following a couple of seconds he kind of grasps what's going on, and he tells you that he just wanted to show that he could help the people by raising them back from the dead when they died.
Ah.
Turns out that when you raise someone from the dead, they're quite hungry. He looks alarmed at Tensho and begins to back away again.
Yeah.
No. Yeah. It's okay. He's
useless.
It's because of a different thing. He is not a zombie. You're fine. Don't worry.
Can I put like a blanket over Tensho?
With your unending pile of blankets.
I mean, I am a seamstress. I need something.
Well, I could put my cloak over him, if that would help.
I have a 7-foot square piece of dirty red velvet.
That does sound tensile-sized.
There you go. Do I roll to drape him with a dirty velvet?
That sounds like it should be something on a brothel menu.
I feel dirty!
Hey, Tensho, I'm giving you a dirty velvet.
Has Rebecca to start squeaking?
Yes. Oh,
that's a dirty velvet is making its way into the slash fiction.
God.
I'm aging! Why did you do this?
Alright, so what were you saying? Sorry.
Yeah, could I try to persuade the elvish guy with my sweet mouth to hand over the book for us?
You can try. Roll. You ask him very nicely. He looks like he's about to, then stops and pulls it back to himself and says, No, it's mine.
Can I do an arcana check on it, please?
Yep. The book is incredibly magical.
Guys, should we try to sort of smack him gently over the head and take the book?
I'm not sure that more people getting hold of necromancy is a good thing.
Well, perhaps if we have hold of the necromancy, it won't be as bad.
Can I just say, do you remember that the last time someone got really possessive over something? I don't think we were all as understanding that time.
What time was that, Bellry?
Gee, I don't know. Maybe it was the same time I acquired this massive scar across my chest.
Well, if you hadn't got possessive and swallowed a gem...
I want to
never
out.
Mind! That it also took us so long that the pack of wolves got bored and fucked off.
I'm just
caught
saying,
the wolves fucked off.
I'm just saying, I feel like it's a little bit of favoritism towards this guy we met all of 10 minutes ago.
No.
Yeah, I'm just going to try to gently smack him over the head with the butt of my staff to knock him out.
Roll. You hit him around the head. He squeaks and yells, Why have you done that? Don't hit me! You're just like the rest of them! And you see him fight to break free. Let's see if he breaks free. Which he manages. He then floats into the air away from you, like in a sort of swimming motion.
Mm-hmm.
And then he begins to read from the book, and his eyes glow pink.
Cancel the levitate.
Okay, roll. You cancel the levitate?
Can I cast a tumbleweed into his mouth?
Plummets to the ground as a couple of what seem to be something crawling out of the ground in front of you. He drops the book falls into the water, and he dives in the water after it.
Can someone grab him, separate him from the book, and I'll try to deal with whatever it is he's just raised?
Could I sort of sap him in the water? I mean, water is really, really conductive to electricity.
It is, yeah.
Roll to see if you can sap him in the water.
It's salt water mostly,
basically,
actually.
The water seems to sort of spark, and you notice him twitch, but he doesn't seem to stop. He seems to keep going down.
How are we still trying to rescue him? Because I thought that zap the water with the minute was like we gave up on rescuing him.
Yeah, I'm not trying to rescue him. I'm going after the book. I'm diving in.
Okay.
This book.
Yes.
Very powerful.
Yes.
He's trying to raise the dead.
Yes.
Ghost vision?
Can if you want.
What yeah.
Can I see?
Ghost vision.
I feel like there's a logical thread there, and I was waiting for a quiet moment so I could speak.
Ghost vision.
Ghost vision. What can I see? Nothing. I'm dead. I just have my throat slit again.
Natural
right?
One, you see two very smiling faces on the things that have just risen from the ground. They look like smiling, happy people. And you walk over to them and they sort of give you the gesture of, hug me, Ravain. And you go, they just want hugs, guys. And as you hug them, you feel something begin to sink its teeth into your arm.
Ow. Ow, it's okay, they're friends. Ow, my arm hurts. This might be a heart attack. It's okay, they're friends.
So what, we just see, like, blood come from our arm.
Yep. Yeah. The vein is being bitten by the two things that have just risen from the ground.
But it's okay, they're friends.
I just sigh and get, like, some bandage.
I go over and try and peel them off of Ravain since she still thinks they're friends.
It's okay, they're my friends.
Yeah, they're also making you bleed, so gonna take
that's
them off you just now.
Okay, yeah. So like the corpse things are biting her as well, it's not just the ghosts?
Ghosts?
No,
were
she sees the two corpse things
thing.
As if they were normal people with skin and they've got like...
It's
imagine
like
the sort of like happy anime face of the... Hi! That's lovely! I just want to hug you!
Kawaii!
Yep.
Daisuki! Ski death!
I'm not a weeb.
They are hugging Ravain, and Ravain thinks they just want hugs, where in fact they are quite contentedly biting into her arm.
Yeah, I'm going to try and get them.
Okay, roll to try and remove them from Ravain.
Hey dragon, are you coming to say hi as well?
I'm coming to make sure their hugs don't hurt you, dear.
You try and rip them off. They have incredibly strong grip, but you do seem to get one of them off. It looks at you and sort of howls like a very ancient curse-like howl.
Mm-hmm.
And its mouth is full of blood. And you look at Ravain's arm and there's a huge chunk taken out of one of the arms.
Oh, shit.
Maybe we'll need more than a bandage.
It's okay, friend. There's no need to scream. It's okay.
Tenshu's undead side starts to kick in and he starts licking his lips.
Yep.
Okay,
you're undead. You are not a zombie.
That's okay.
It is not the same thing.
That's fine. I punch Tenshu in the back of the head just to be safe.
Roll Tenshu's head pops off. I'm never going to get to say this again. Roll to donkey punch Tenshu.
Unfortunately, it was only a 6.
Can I cast a heal on Ravain, please?
She's currently got one of them, like, chewing on her other arm. But yes, you can.
It's alright, guys. I'm holding Tenshu back. Don't worry. And I kick him in the ribs.
I figure we're going into combat anyway, so...
Right. Roll to try and heal Ravain, if that's what you want to do.
It's worth noting that meanwhile, Aura is diving into the water.
Yeah, but I'm having him swimming. I'll do his once I've
21 hit
done the rest. Okay, so that natural 20.
Yeah.
You heal Ravain. She immediately has her arm healed up. The other one heals up and seems to be quite confused that it's chewing on flesh that's just reappeared in front of it. It thinks of it like a sort of unending tankard, and it just takes another huge bite out of Ravain.
I try to kill the one that's on me and shout at people to actually deal with the fucking thing that's eating her.
Okay.
I'm keeping Tenshu away. Did you not see him lick his lips?
Don't care. Too distracted by Bellary to actually hit, apparently.
You swing the thing doesn't, like, even remotely try and dodge. It just takes the slice through itself, and it just keeps going. Like, it doesn't seem to have any effect from the weapon hitting it. Exactly.
What?
Forget Tensho. Please try and kill these things.
I turn to the olives and I tell them to keep Tensho down, and I try and wrestle the other one off of Ravine.
Okay, so Tensho is now going to be wrestling with a group of circus performers. So, Graham, roll to see how Tensho gets on fighting three circus performers.
Badly!
They're not even very
good. They think on their feet, and they think the best way to deal with Tensho is to rip his head back off and start throwing it between them like a beach ball. So, Tensho's body slumps to the floor as his head is being, like, tossed between three mongrel folk in a sort of triangle pattern while he goes
I give them a thumbs up.
So what is everyone else doing while Tensho has been decapitated again? Ravine is currently trying to enjoy in hugs with someone that wants to eat their arm, and Dragon is desperately trying to kill this ghoul.
Can I have a double take at this scenario?
Roll.
No.
You look down and you go, oh wow, you brought strawberries. That's wonderful. You're such a great friend.
I'm surprised I haven't seen you around here more often. I just hug in time.
And you move round to give it another hug and it bites your other arm. You're now properly embrace hugging this thing as it's chewing its way through your other arm. So...
How am I doing with the swimming after the book?
Okay, well, while they're all deciding what to do, I'll do your one. Are you going for the book or the elf swimming for it?
I'm going for the book.
Okay, roll. You keep swimming, you can't seem to reach it. It's sinking very quickly. And as you get even remotely close, you notice that the elf is also swimming desperately towards it, and you're running out of breath. You pull yourself and you have to give up, and you come back up for air. As you break the surface, you find yourself incredibly breathless. The elf, however, has not broken the surface and he is still swimming down.
Yeah, I'm just going to climb up from the water for now.
Is it possible that someone could do something about my head?
In a minute.
No, because the last thing we heard from you was... blood. Yeah, like fucker be helping you just now.
Excuse me.
We've already got two things to try and kill and completely fail at.
All I pointed out was that I licked my lips. That's all.
And to be safe, we had the triplets pull your head off.
So
decided to do that. And the rest of us had a say in it.
No, we didn't have a say in it. But at the same time, not going to do anything about it right now.
So,
Captain Ash. I think we have new crew members right here.
Can I use my whip to try and detach the corpse from Ravine?
You can, yes.
Apologies if this goes badly.
I'm quite happy with my friends here.
Okay, you basically whip your whip at the one that's biting Ravine. You get it around the throat and manage to wrench it back off. It staggers backwards and again emits this ancient screech. Begins shambling towards you.
Does it cause any damage?
No, but it does spit out a chunk of Ravine's arm.
Am I in a position to do anything yet?
Yes, you are soaking wet, but yes.
Yes, I would like to use my lightning rod on the one she just pulled free from Ravine.
Yep, roll. Nope, you managed to just electrocute yourself because you're soaking wet, and you sort of chug yourself, and your robe catches fire.
A wet robe catching fire?
Okay. Yep, that's the power of lightning. At least you'll be toasty warm.
This is not wet anymore yet.
Quick dry.
It's a new technique he developed.
How injured does Ravine look?
Ravine is basically standing there looking at Dragon confused as she's just pulled her hugging friend away from her. But both of her arms have huge chunks missing and blood is pouring down her arms.
Then I shall continue to pour healing spells onto Ravine to keep her alive.
Okay. Roll to see how that goes.
Jealous.
It's 3 hit points this time.
Yeah, that's fine. So you managed to stop the bleeding, but she still has huge divots taken out of both of her arms.
On the one that's been staggered back a bit.
Yes.
Can I do like a sick drop kick on it into the water?
Roll for style. How stylistic do you do a drop kick?
Fuck's sake.
You run up, you jump, You land straight back down again and crack your head off the floor. You are now bleeding from the head, and the creature just looks at you because it's about 2 meters away still, and just goes and just continues to stagger towards you as you're now bleeding from the skull.
Can we address the fact that that's like the third one I've rolled, and the highest roll so far that I've done is a 6?
I will try to heal Bellary.
Okay, roll to try and heal Bellary. You managed to stop the blood, but he is covered in blood now. And the both ghouls seem to be very interested in Bellary because he's now covered in blood.
Don't worry, Bellary, my friends will come and help you out.
So, what's happening now?
I don't know, I'm still getting tossed around, I think.
You are.
I am going to try and cut one of these things in half.
Okay.
Since they don't seem to be easily damaged, hopefully I can dismember them.
Yep, you slice one of them in half. It falls to the ground, it emits a guttural moan, and then begins to try and drag itself forward by its hands.
Well, that's distressing.
Yeah, I feel like we need to get them in the water.
Well, maybe we'll be less inept at managing it if it's cut in half.
Yeah, I'm just going to go jump quickly down to the water to, like, put my cloak out.
Okay, so Aura runs past you, jumps into the water, and you hear a and smoke and sort of steam smoke rises in the air. He comes back out in a slightly singed robe.
Can I just say that it's not my fault? The platform was really slippy. And that it's not ineptitude. It's pure health and safety practices.
That was pure ineptitude. Okay, if no one else is doing anything, I am going to walk behind the scrambling torso, pick it up from the cut edge, and throw it in the water.
Okay. That would be a roll to avoid being bitten. Yep, you pick it up and throw it in the water.
What's the other one doing?
The creature sinks straight away, and you see it go beneath the waves as it sort of makes a garbled before finally disappearing from view.
What's the other one doing?
The other one is shambling towards Bellary.
Then I would like to zap it.
Yep, you managed to zap it this time. It shudders, and it's sort of like its brain's resetting. And after a couple of seconds, it again starts howling and shambling towards Bellary.
Right, plan. Using me as bait, I get towards the edge of the raft, get on my hands and knees, and when it gets close, someone pushes it. It trips over me and falls on the floor.
Yeah, sounds like a plan. Yep.
I guess I get to the edge and get on my hands and knees.
While you're doing this, Tensho starts to whistle as it goes back and forth in between the circus troop.
Since no one seems to be in imminent danger of dying at the moment, I'm going to try a frostbolt at the remaining bad thing.
Okay.
In what state are my arms?
They are not bleeding, but they've got huge, like...
scar tissue.
Yeah, they've got like a half golf ball sized lump taken out of it.
Okay. Right.
You smack it in the chest with the frostbolt, it staggers back and falls into the water. However, because of the large amount of frost like, attached to it, it begins to still float. So it's sort of floating around, but can't seem to right itself.
Can we have Rowayne perhaps do something fiery with it so that, the frost sort of melts of it, so it
she
sinks?
She still thinks they're friends.
Friends, or...
Well, how about we just dump a rock on it?
We could just leave it there, it will melt.
What are you doing? No, Esther!
I'm going to catch Tensho's head and pick it up.
No! Don't use Tensho's head!
No, I'm not going to use it. I'm just going to take it for now.
Oh, okay. No. I think that's worse.
That poor bugger is flying around all the time. He's going to get dizzy.
Their brother just died. Allow them a little bit of fun.
No, I won't.
Not causing any immediate trouble, I'm going to continue trying to heal everybody up.
Yeah, have a good time with me then.
Yeah,
oh, God.
I'm
okay.
Gonna try and find you a better body.
So the one ghoul is sort of slowly floating out to sea, the other one is sinking beneath the waves, everyone's getting healed up, but Ravain still has these weird lumps in her arms, and Tensho is still a disembodied head.
Yeah.
You know you're in a bad state when Captain Ash has given up on you.
I meant I'd given up on actually trying to apply healing spells to him.
Yeah.
He's undead.
He's undead,
he's
you can't
fine.
Heal him.
Exactly. I would like to try and get his head attached more firmly and securely back onto a body.
Exactly.
Okay,
that's
let's
what
find
I was
a skill that
for.
We have then.
Yeah, well,
we're not going to do any worse than the seamstress.
Okay, so
could
then.
I try with my dexterity, please?
Yep.
Screwing it on.
Not amazing.
Okay, is this to sew Tensho's head back on?
Yes.
Okay, you reattach Tensho's head, Again, it's not the best attachment, but it does seem to do for now, as in he can begin to move his limbs.
Okay, that's a good start. That means we don't need to try and drag his body with us. That's pretty much what we need.
Although you may have got the wiring backwards as I start to try to walk forward and end up walking backwards.
Sorry.
Can I somehow use my magic to sort of more attach Tensho's head to his body so that it will work?
It's more sort of connection issues he's got. You can try, but it just seems to just be as good as you can do for the moment.
And my friend's dead.
One of them has sank beneath the waves. One of them has floated out to sea, who's half ice.
Don't worry, Ruthane. Parts of you are going to stay with them always.
As you look around, you notice that the dead elf has began to float on the water next to you. As in, he's obviously drowned and has floated back to the surface.
Does he have the book on him?
Nope. But he drowned chasing it.
Can we pull him ashore and search his pockets?
You can, yes. You pull him ashore. He doesn't have really anything in his pockets. He has a couple of gold coins. He has a small, what seems to be some kind of penknife. And he also has a old brass spoon.
Interesting.
Trace of Arcana about any of them?
No, nothing.
It sounds like the start of a joke.
What, a penknife and a brass spoon?
Yeah.
I'd like to do a dungeoneering check. Rest of this area that we're in just now.
Okay. You sort of look around where you are now. Again, there's not really much here. There's a grand set of stairs behind the throne that lead back up to the 30-foot area directly above where you all plummeted down from. So if you'd walked around a bit, you'd have found some stairs down.
Okay. Shall we start going up the stairs then and explore?
I think so, yes.
We've still got that magic source to investigate out towards the centre.
Yeah, exactly.
Did Aura recover the book?
No.
Okay.
That's probably just as well.
The top of the stairs are another two shambling ghouls, but one of them seems to be missing a leg, the other one seems to be missing an arm. What you gonna do?
Can I throw a dusty lemon in a jar at it?
Roll. You throw the dusty lemon in a jar, it shatters on impact, and you hear a sort of psh, 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 and then a lemon tree suddenly starts erupting from the ground and appears in front of you. So you've now thrown a lemon in a jar at a ghoul, and it's now spawned a lemon tree.
I'm going to pick some lemons.
So there are still two ghouls, but there's also now a lemon tree.
Tensho is going to do a full speed charge backwards to run straight into the ghouls, seeing as my wiring is back to front.
Roll. Tensho gets halfway through, he then misplaces one of his feet, face plants on the top step, and barrel rolls down the stairs. Can everyone do me a dodge roll to not be taken out by Tensho rolling down the stairs?
Oh shit.
Dragon and Andradina are taken out by the rolling Tensho. He barrel rolls them all the way down to the bottom of the stairs, and then barrels through the two wooden thrones. So yes, you two are both now lying in this pool of splinters and bits of Tensho.
I'm really happy that I got a decent roll, because I was genuinely concerned that the triplets would become twins.
Are the guys downstairs hurt?
Or I'm need, just going to lie here and scream curses at all of you for the rest of the episodes.
I'm going to shout, it's not my fault, Tensho tripped!
I'm gonna
not this time!
There and help them back up.
Thank you, Captain.
Sorry, if only I could get a proper person to put my head back on.
The ghouls are, like, shambling forward. What are you doing?
I'm taking my axe and swinging at the nearest one of them.
Okay, roll. Yep, you slice right through it. You slice basically from the neck downwards, so it sort of creates this slice that just leaves a head and an arm. The rest of the body collapses, and that head and the arm still begin to, like, drag itself towards you.
Can I just run at the other one and, like, body it and try and push it off the, what you call, like, gangplank or whatever?
Yep, roll.
Fuck's sake!
You charge forward and then you trip on a piece of the jar of lemon and slide forward. You then do a sort of acrobatic roll around the ghoul and land face first into the lemon tree. Are now unconscious in front of the lemon tree as lemons are raining down around you.
We should probably help him.
Yeah, I'm going to pick up some more lemons and then I'll try to heal him.
I'm just going to try and cut one of the ghouls in half again.
Is that your fourth one, by the way, Billy?
Yes.
Oh, fucking hell. Okay, so, dragon.
I should probably try ghost vision again.
You swing and you slice the ghoul in half. it again falls to the ground, and this time, because you've tried to remember, you just sliced it across the neck. The head itself is the only thing that's active, and it just sort of lies there, rocking back and forth, going at you.
Right, let's just move on, shall we?
Well, someone needs to actually heal Bellary.
And then move on.
I sort of failed.
I would like to pick up some lemons, because I have recipes for them.
Okay.
And then I will try ghost vision on these things.
Okay.
Hopefully ghost I won't befriend these ones. Okay. What do I see?
You do ghost vision and you see that these things are cursed with undying. They seem to be unable to actually die unless you destroy the brain.
Okay. We need to destroy the brain. There's a lingering essence around it.
Yeah, I think we actually have two of them we need to kill.
Yeah.
Let's put them out of their misery then, shall we?
So, there's a head and there's a head and an arm that's crawling towards you.
I'll use one of my daggers to just skewer it straight through the head. You aren't my friend.
Yep. You stab it through the skull, it immediately stops moving and just goes silent.
So, Rivain, did you say that you had a recipe for something with lemons?
Yes.
Mm. Yeah, you can have some of mine here, which I wish I had picked up. Do make useful things of them, yeah.
When I get back to the boat, lemon cake for all.
Cool.
And lemon bombs?
And when I go back to my cabin, lemon bonbons.
Yes. I will take my axe and try to take the other one out.
Okay. And the gear, I'm going to list armful of lemons.
So, you destroy the other one easily.
Could somebody just heal Bellary and then we can be on our way?
Sure.
Said with such contempt.
Yeah. Enthusiasm 101.
I'm just feeling the love, to be honest.
Yeah,
it's not just you.
Well, your head is attached the right way around to control your body.
I rub my head and I ask, did I get it?
Yep, you knocked the tree out.
You showed that tree and we had lemons for days.
I'll take it. And I give like the tree a light punch just to show who's boss.
Another lemon falls from the tree and twats you on the head.
Yep, I'll pick up the lemon and save it for later.
Shall we get a move on?
Yes.
Let's go this way.
So, now you have removed all the lemons. There is some stairs leading down to what seems to be a small temple. Or there is this elevated area to explore.
I'm thinking the stairs, guys. I love temples.
Using my great, great knowledge of religion,
yes.
Can I get an idea as to what this temple is for?
Okay. It's dedicated to some sort of farming sea god from the elves.
It seems to be dedicated to some sort of farming sea god from the elves, guys.
Oh. That sounds intriguing. Mm. Let's go check it out.
So, as you get to the bottom of the stairs and enter the temple itself, you notice a very thick blood trail. As you follow the blood trail, you eventually come to the bottom half decapitated parts of the queen, who seems to have been stabbed several times, and then finally had her top half cut off, and then her head cut off. And you notice the head is still missing, but the body is still there. As in, someone's tried to stop it, and it's not happened. And eventually they've just decided, well, I'll cut that bit off. Didn't work. I'll cut that bit off. Didn't work. Oh, for fuck's sake. So the head is missing, you don't know where it's gone, but there is definitely the body of the queen in front of you.
Does she have anything of interest on her?
She has some royal jewellery, some bracelets and necklaces and stuff like that.
I'll take it.
Okay. Can I do an arcana check, please?
You can, yes. Her body itself does sort of bristle with a little magic, but it seems to be much more that she was of royal descent, so had magic in her blood, rather than actually being of any kind of curse. But her blood does seem relatively fresh, as in like the last 12 hours or so.
I'm just going to do a perception check.
Okay. You notice that whatever the person used to cut her in half is lying nearby, and it's a broken elvish blade. From the force that must have taken to shatter the blade, you realise the amount of force that must have been put into the cut, and yeah, it's someone relatively strong.
It wasn't me.
You said right at the start that this place looked like it had gone downhill really quickly.
Yep.
It was covered in spiders' webs.
Yep.
Is it dilapidated, as though like time and rot have set in, but really quickly?
The closer you got to the middle, the less that seems to. It seems like it's sort of like the further away from the middle point it's got, the more it's been affected by it.
So it's something like the magic that was sustaining it has faded, yes. And there's only some left around the middle.
Yes.
Is that magic centered around the throne room?
Throne room you were at, no. But it seems to be coming from this temple somewhere.
Okay, so there's at least a source of this sustaining magic active there still.
Yes.
Before we run into things and destroy it.
Yes.
Could the spider webs be described as giant?
Yes.
So, what I'm thinking, so there was magic that was made to cover up all the shit. So maybe the citizens are actually giant spiders? Like, they're the actual citizens?
Well, why would they be a queen and a king?
The armory was all elvish.
Yeah, and an elvish queen as well.
But do you remember that there was a thing where elves wanted to turn into giant spiders?
Only one bunch of elves.
I think we would be able to tell the difference between most elves and drow. They're completely different colour, for one thing.
First of all, colour doesn't matter. Second of all, I forgot that they were drow.
Uh-huh.
Maybe we could go... Where can we go from here?
Temple.
As you walk into the temple, there is a large wooden door that's obviously been closed in a hurry, and there are many, many scratch marks on this side of it.
Okay.
Spider-like scratch marks?
No, like fingernails.
Can we knock politely, please?
As you knock politely, you hear a response screaming from the other side, saying, "Taunt me no more, spirit."
Spirit. Ravine, I think it's time for your copyright mark.
We've got to see if we can help you.
Again, you just hear a fevered voice scream, "Taunt me no more, spirit."
Can I just be like, "I'm not a spirit, I'm a regular dude"?
Excuse me, we're strangers and we just landed up here and we don't really know what's going on. But there was a crazy person with a boot, and he's ended up dead. So if you could explain what the fuck is going on, we'd be really grateful.
You start hearing the sound like something very heavy hitting the door at the other side. It sounds like someone is trying to get through the door with an axe.
Okay, there's no need for an axe.
Step back a bit so that he's got some space.
Could you not just open the door regularly?
Yeah.
How's about we open the door?
Completely barred it.
I will try to open the door.
Okay, the door doesn't move. After a couple of seconds, you see a very large, sharp axe blade appear through the door, and the door splinters.
Hello.
The axe is pulled back, and then you hear it hitting the door again, but you don't see it this time.
Right,
I'm a little confused, because they wanted us to...
That we're out of the way when the axe from him, whoever's pulling behind the axe, comes through.
Yeah.
Okay. So, where are you actually moving to?
Moving backwards toward the entrance.
And slightly to one side, so we're out of any direct line of fire.
Okay. After a couple of minutes, the door splinters a couple more times, and then you hear the sound like it being kicked against hinges, and the door splinters open. A very old-looking elf, who is caked in blood, is standing in front of you, wielding a very, very large axe. Inside the room behind you are about 3,000 or 4,000 ghouls that seem to all be in pieces.
Wow.
And the elf looks at you and he is completely crazed. And he points to you and just bellows and just charges towards you with his axe raised.
I will ask him if he is the king.
Okay. He's going to swing at you. He swings at Aura and connects, and you basically take a huge chunk of damage to the chest and fall down, pissing blood everywhere. He then bellows like a lost beast and starts charging towards the next target.
Can I take my cloak off and use it to try and take him down and bundle him up on the ground? We're not going to be able to speak to him if he's battle crazed.
You can try. You throw your cloak over him and basically do a takedown. He shrieks and begins to flail everywhere. So if other people help you, you might be able to hold him down.
Yeah, I was going to be like...
Henshaws will come and help.
Oh, Christ.
Basically, we just need to pin him down long enough.
Yeah, I was going to try and take the axe off him.
Yeah, that's okay. A good plan.
So, roll between the three of you to try and hold him down. Okay.
Holy shit, it wasn't a one.
Yay!
Great spelling.
So just
pulling out all the stops here.
Between the three of you, you managed to hold him down and kick the axe away. He is incredibly strong and foaming at the mouth. He is completely crazed.
Can I scald him? Which is to say, scald? Tell him off. Tell him off, not pour boiling liquid over him.
Okay, scald. Oh. I was actually going to ask if Captain Ash could try and heal him. That might help with the berserker.
what I was going to be trying to do.
Yeah. It might be a curse.
I should try healing him.
I'm not mad, I'm just very disappointed in you.
You heal what wounds he has, but he is still frothing.
And I shall talk softly to him to try and calm him down in Elvish.
He starts screaming that you are spirits and you are taunting him, and he will behead all of you.
Could I perform an arcana check to see if he's cursed? Or...
You can. Remember at this moment, Aura is sliced open.
Yeah, I'm just lying, bleeding here, guys, but do what you have to do.
Yeah, I don't know Aura that well.
Doesn't matter. If you do die, I've got revive. I can bring you back to life.
Okay. He is not cursed, but he is completely... There's something magical going on, but it's not the main cause of why he's frothing.
Okay.
I'll throw a heal at Aura as well.
Okay. Okay, you managed to stop Aura bleeding everywhere.
Thank you, Ash.
I'll throw you some more in a bit. Or you can always throw some yourself.
That's why she's the captain.
Rivain, why don't you try using Ghost Vision?
Ghost Vision when people have weapons around is always a little scary.
There's no one having weapons around right now.
I can examine him with my ghost eyes.
I can do a perception check first if you would prefer.
I have company close by, so hopefully it'll be okay.
Okay.
Ghost Vision.
You look at him through Ghost Vision, he seems to just look like he should be an elf noble. Like, when you look at him through Ghost Vision, he seems like he's a shadow of his former self, and his ghost seems to be trapped in that body.
Okay.
But it does seem to be a ghost of him, which is strange.
Oh, so he's like a ghost inhabiting his previous body.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, it might not be possible to calm him.
Well, what if we had a classic Bury Lady exorcism with a Bury circle of protection?
Yeah, I guess I can scroll some berries on the floor and do the special dance.
Faith isn't as strong as it once was, but...
I say hello to the guy that I'm holding down the floor.
Hi!
He spits at you, Tencho, and he screams that he will have your head.
To be fair, it's not that hard to acquire.
Who is helping us pin him down while Valery does the exorcism?
I was going to say, I am holding him down currently.
Yeah, we need someone to take your place holding him.
I guess I can sit on an arm or something, keep it out of the way.
That work.
Am I able to move yet?
Yeah.
I will go sit on his head.
Can we just confirm it's his head and not my head?
Yeah. Okay.
Roll to see if he bites you. He frantically tries to bite you, but you manage to keep all your parts away from his face.
Great.
Wonderful.
Good.
Okay.
Yeah, I draw some berries, let's say the goji berries in this particular instance, a runic circle around them, and do the special exorcism dance.
So Bellary strips off and starts frolicking around. The triplets look at him with alarm and confusion. Aura looks at him with alarm and confusion. The man on the floor continues to spit at everyone as frolics around in circles for a couple of minutes.
I will accompany his frolicking with some great lute music. Needs to happen. Needs to happen.
While you're still sitting on the two side.
Very simplistic.
After a couple of minutes, Ravain's ghost vision notices that the ghost seems to leave the body, and the thrashing slowly sort of dies down, and eventually it stops, and the man seems to sort of disappear and fade. Like, his body's still there, but whatever anger was within it is no longer there, and he just seems to be lifeless.
Bowery, you did it.
It worked. Well done.
I will step off his head now, or remove myself from his head, yeah.
So the body is completely lifeless now. What do you do?
Should we perhaps go down, see where he came from, see if there's something interesting down there?
You move off the body and you start moving down into the room he was in. Inside is literally a scene of slaughter. There are several thousand ghouls, as I mentioned, that seem to have been villagers that were turned, and all of them seem to have been, like, hacked into tiny pieces by this one person. As you get closer to the middle of it, you notice that there was, must have been a tree standing in the middle, and it has been cut down.
Was it a lemon tree?
No, it was just like a, it was quite a sort of spindly tree, but it looks very elven, but like it has been completely hacked down. Like someone who declared that they no longer believe would cut down a tree.
Is there any life left in the tree?
No, it is completely lifeless.
Can you?
It seems like whatever magic was left in the tree has been removed when it was cut down.
Somebody's great at doing arcana checks and see if the pulse is still there.
Yeah, okay, there you go.
It seems to have faded completely, as in it must have been from the guy you've exorcised. But you examine his hands and it seems like he's full of splinters, as if he has lost his faith and decided he's going to hack down this tree before turning absolutely mad and, like, hacking all the villagers to death that have turned.
Could I do a perception check and see if there's anything useful lying around?
Yep. You look around, you find fragments of the tree that seem to still have a little magic left in them. You find enough that would form a staff, if you want it.
Yeah.
But for the most part, it seems to just be the remains of ghouls and, like, shrapnel of this tree.
Well, I'll try to pick up the staff to form a staff of some sort of magic kind.
Between religion and nature, can I tell what tree is then?
Yes, roll. It's kind of like a sort of farming village, and they respected the tree. The tree would always bear them fruit if they looked after it. But it seems whatever this magic was caused the dead to rise. And once he saw his wife basically get turned and then go insane and start trying to bite him, it basically drove the king mad. So he basically decided that the whole worship a tree and it will look after you thing was complete bullshit, and then decided to cut down his tree.
I mean, I agree. Bushes are where it's at.
Could we maybe have another crack at getting my body sorted right?
If so, that means I get to pull your head off your shoulders, then yes.
Or is there a better body lying around that I can be attached to?
There is this king's body.
Yeah,
there,
what does the king's body look like?
It just looks kind of like a butch elf, really.
Attach me to that, then.
Should we check if the butch elf is a better body than the
Well, hold on. Before that, should we check to see if, you know, 100% dead first?
Well, it will be once we take the head off to put yours on.
But yeah. We can double check first before we even take heads off.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
You go and check for a pulse. There is no pulse. The body seems to be empty.
Okay, you guys take care of the corpse. I'll just get Tensho's head off.
Do we know that putting Tensho's head on a body that's not Tensho's body would actually work?
Well, there's one. Well, put it this way, if this doesn't work, you can just reattach my body to my original body.
Yeah.
Exactly. I turn away from pulling on Tensho's head to say.
Does it seem to be a better body than Tensho's already got, or is it?
Well, considering Tensho has one giant arm, one withered arm,
and my head's on backwards.
Head's on backwards, yeah.
And a rock buttock, yeah.
The rock for a buttock, yeah.
Let's go for it, guys.
Give it a go.
Can't really get much worse.
No,
at
really.
Least he will be an elf by then, so that's cool.
Yeah, but it kind of seems disrespectful of the elf's body.
Well, he won't mind.
It's very utilitarian, though.
Maybe we could take the body with us and we can, like, tinker with it on the boat.
Yeah, take it with us, because that way we can do it on the boat where we've got the we can take our time over it to get it right.
Yeah, and otherwise we can give the elf a proper Viking burial, because that's
just
so elvish.
Just the head, yeah.
I let go of Tensho's head, like, looking really downcast.
My head has come half off.
Yeah, I'm passing Bellary on the head and just saying, it will be okay, Bellary. You'll get your shot.
If we do it on the boat, we're somewhere safe and we can basically take our time and make sure that every connection is done correctly.
Yeah.
It's still not going to work. You know what this is going to turn out like.
I don't care. I want a body that works, damn it.
So you all head back towards the boat, dragging this strange remnants of bones off with you. And as you get back to the boat, you stockpile the bodies in for Tensho for the next day. As the day goes on, you push away from the island and the fog begins to clear. The next day, you all wake up and you see a small rowing boat rowing away from where you are.
Can I keep the bodies on ice to stop it from decaying, please?
Yep. As you go up to the small rowing boat, there seems to be a very butch man and he looks like a dog. As you get close, the dog seems to turn towards you and sits down and goes, "Hi, friends!"
Oh, nice.
Hi!
Hi.
Hello.
We're doomed.
Do we know you?
He sort of looks at you, cocks his head slightly and goes, "You were the horned one. She liked my offer. I hope you all appreciate."
God.
Yep, I'm going to ask Fred what that's all about.
Who is the other one in the boat?
This is Rameses. He looks after me.
I see. And what is your name?
My name is Toby.
Hello, Toby. It's nice to meet you. I hope.
Are you following the Horned One to their island?
Horned One?
Yes.
We've met a couple of people with horns.
Horned One. The one with the horns that was on your boat.
And the dark red skin and...
That's the one.
Okay.
She left this morning. She smiles lots. We made her happy.
What have you done with Ravain?
No. She left willingly. We gave her some magic dust, didn't we, Ramses? And Ramses looks to sort of grunts. He's basically like a giant ogre. He just sort of grunts and stops rowing.
Does Ramses appear to be in full control of his faculties?
Yes.
Okay.
He seems to basically be like a giant stone golem.
Stop trying to steal bodies.
I wasn't. I meant, is he like under some of like the dog's mind control or some shit? I didn't realise he was a golem.
As you get closer, Toby sort of starts dancing in circles and you realise Toby is in fact a fox.
Hello.
How many tails does Toby have?
He has one.
What does the fox say?
So, as you get close, he says, I do hope your friend liked her free sample.
Free sample of what?
What did you give her?
She got the offer. She could have anything her heart desired, and she took it. And she left this morning with a fine young gentleman.
What did the gentleman look like?
Well, Ramses sprinkled her with the dust, and then this sort of swirl happened, and then this man appeared, and she hugged him, and then they both left. And he sort of smiles at you in only way a fox can.
Can you describe the man, please?
Oh, he was sort of elvish, really. We didn't really look at him, he just sort of seemed to be what she wanted.
No.
I was just wondering the description sounds like, and give a description of the husband, or whether it sounds more like a description of Alfonso.
I don't know, but clearly they don't know either. Can I go and check Ravain's cabin, please?
You go look at Ravain's cabin. Ravain's cabin is surprisingly tidy, but quite empty.
Okay.
Bet she didn't make that cake either.
She leaves you a small lemon cake on the bed. She leaves one for each of you with goodbye written on it.
Oh, bless.
Oh, and I don't even like lemon cake.
I'll have it.
So Toby sort of looks at you and says, so are you coming to the island then?
I think we should go to the island, guys. What do you think?
Yeah, but can we hold off on magic dust just now, please?
Oh, but the magic dust gives you what your heart desires.
Yeah,
no magic dust, thanks.
Usually when somebody says that to us, there's a horrific price.
No, we don't have price. We just deal in magic dust, don't we, Ramses? And Ramses just goes, I can be a fox. Isn't it wonderful? Look at my tail. And he just spins around in circles looking really happy.
Just very impressive tail.
Yeah.
Tenso shouts out, who's talking? I can't see anyone! Without realising that his head was looking in the wrong direction.
We need to fix our friend before we can go to the island. But once that's done, we'll probably head that way to try and find our other friend.
Oh, okay. Well, hang on. I will ask Ramses. He sort of turns around to Ramses and makes a sort of like... And then you just see a sort of... response. And the ogre takes out a very small pouch. Toby goes, see, we can give any one of you your desire the only thing you ever really want. We only have enough left for one person.
Yep.
Which of you wants your dreams?
I'm just going to go sit at the anchor with
my friends.
Yep.
Okay. Everyone roll me a d20, please.
There we go. Aww.
We both cursed there.
Okay.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, two of you did.
So the ogre throws this pouch. Andradina goes to grab it. She falls over Tensho, face plants on the deck, and the bag smacks Dragon in the face. Roll a d20, Dragon.
Oh, no.
Dragon inhales magic dust.
Yay.
Dragon, eyeballs dilate.
Dragon suddenly grows about a meter long black wings.
Cool.
And so Toby is dancing in circles going, see? That's desire. Come with us to the island. We have many shiny things.
I try to flutter my wings and...
Those are quite pretty.
He turns round and goes, come Ramses, we must go. And the boat starts rowing very quickly. What do you do?
I wave to them while I'm seeing how much my wings can do.
Can we take a bearing of the direction they're going?
The,
we know which way they went.
The magic pouch they threw onto the deck has a small map
contained within.
Haha, then we'll swipe the map.
So,
I wonder if Torby knew anything about suspicious leather-bound books.
We will take some time now to fix Tensho carefully and properly. This may well be a day-long surgery rather than a quick watch shop, but we'll get it done right.
Okay.
It's all sparkly!
That's so cool. That was totally worth getting my nose broken for.
Oh, I stroke Andreadina's nose.
Does the new body work with Tensho's head on it?
That's what we have to wait till next week to find out.
Oh, you cunt.
Oh, yeah.
And with that, dear listeners, we draw this episode of the podcast to a close. Thank you for listening, and if you enjoyed our tale, please leave us a review on iTunes or tell your friends about us. We would greatly appreciate it. If you would like to support us in making future content, we do have a Patreon at patreon.com/penancerpg. All support is gratefully received. Hopefully, we'll be seeing you next week. And remember in the meantime to always stay ambitious, even if you think you're a bit rubbish. This episode of Penance RPG was brought to you by Nikolai, Ben, Dragon, Ellie, Graham, Rebecca, Ash, and Daniel. The episode was written, adapted, and edited by Nikolai Pubsky. Music was provided by Ellen Garrett, and artwork was by John Moore.
My favourite magic colours is probably red, because I used to play, it wasn't very good, but it was very fun, a red-black vampire deck back in Shadows, and it was the first proper deck I built. It was built on, I think she was called Olivia, and she was really good, and it was the first mystic I ever got, and I had three of them in this one deck, and it was all about buffing the vampires. So when it worked really well, and you got vampires that hit for like 14 damage each.
Would you say they're Buffy the Vampire Slayers?
That is what I wish I called the deck now, yes.
Oh, I heard Christ. That head slap.
That was a clap.
Oh, yep, Christ. That was a massive head slap there.
No, it was a clap.
I still actually have it lying around somewhere.
I clapped and I dabbed, but you didn't see the dab.
Why do people dab?
Why would you tell people about the dab?
Why do people dab? I've never really understood this.
It's when people feel like they have too much dignity.
It's silly. It's silly.
And they feel like they need to get rid of a bit of that dignity.
Yep. Just be old and think you're in with the times. So I do it all the time.
Did you see Hillary Clinton dab?
Yes, and that's silly.
Oh God, no.
That's really silly.
My 11-year-old and his friends do it all the time. I think it's a kid thing.
It's okay if you watch YouTube all the time and you know what it is. But if you're Hillary Clinton, no.
Right.
Right. Could
have been Trump doing it. This is a strange,
I'm probably cutting all this nonsense of the dabbing out, so.
Oh, no, keep it in.
Yeah.
You want me to keep it in?
Yeah.
Kind of cool. It's cool dabbing in a podcast.
Yeah.
Penance RPG Educational Corner.
Penance RPG Educational Corner. This week we'll cover dabbing.
Oh, there's going to be a lot of dabbing tonight. I can promise you that.
Oh,
I can't dab because I'll probably knock the microphone off the stand.
And FYI, Incinerate from Ice Age is my favourite artwork on any card ever. Those burning skeletons look amazing, and if anyone wants to buy me a print of that, go right ahead. It's just the skeletons with their arms up in the air like, why, as they're burning.